welcome to the Executive Challenge Academy Leadership Program. This series will focus on leading through challenging times. And during the series, you'll hear from a range of special guests who each offer their own unique perspective on what it takes to lead decisively and successfully with care and compassion. I'm your host, Rebecca Archer, a journalist and media industry professional with more than 20 years' experience. Joining me on the podcast today is Zane Ali. As the Interim Chief Executive Officer of MS Queensland, Zane is passionate about innovating the way traditional services are delivered and challenging the status quo. He's a highly regarded industry leader known for promoting social and community growth, development and cohesion. With more than 15 years' experience, Zane has a proven track record in executive leadership roles, overseeing corporate services and business development functions in the aged care, refugee, multicultural and disability services sectors. Zane's strong leadership and amiable nature have been the catalyst for him becoming one of the just 2% of professionals under the age of 30 in Australia to hold executive level roles in a mid to large organisation and subsequently CEO roles under the age of 35. In addition to this, Zane has participated in Executive Challenge Academy programs as a leader committed to his own ongoing growth and learning, but also to the ongoing development of others. In handing forward to others, he has built local networks of senior leaders committed to supporting future leaders. Zane has been a sponsor, a learning partner, and a presenter of his own leadership story, and we'll be hearing more about that story on today's episode. Zane, thank you so much for your time today. I'd like to start by asking how your view of leadership has been evolving, specifically during the coronavirus pandemic.
It's evolved substantially, I think, throughout, particularly the pandemic. Very, very interesting insights that I've witnessed and I suppose have self-reflected on my own leadership style during this period of time as well. I think that most people generally will have a dominant view or a dominant leadership style that they'll naturally default to. One of the things that I've really seen, and I think the people that have been most successful leading through the pandemic have been those people that have multiple different leadership styles that they can call upon in different situations and different circumstances. So whether that be, you know, a collaborative leadership style or a consultative leadership style, a directive leadership style with command and control or a delegative leadership style, I find that those people that have been most successful have been those ones that have been able to call upon these different styles when required in different scenarios. And I suppose for me, coming back to your question around how has my view of leadership evolved, historically I sort of looked at directive leadership as very much command and control and authoritative and it was something to be feared. But there is actually a place for that style of leadership, particularly through pandemics, and if it's done in the right way, it can actually be quite effective. So I suppose for me, I've sort of really been thinking a lot about different types of leadership during different periods of time, I suppose, and really questioning what is good and what works.
Are you able to share some of your personal experiences of leading and just living through the pandemic? How has it felt for you?
Yeah, it's been a huge journey, and particularly my own personal leadership journey. It's been really defining, I think, for myself personally. To be completely honest, when COVID first hit, and this was probably back in February, I remember being in a board meeting and, you know, laughing. The board were sort of asking questions around what my thoughts were on COVID. And my response to them was, I think it's media rhetoric. I didn't think that there was much in it. And I thought it was going to be a little bit like a substantial virus, but I didn't think it was going to have the impact that it actually had. About a week after that, I'm on a small community board and I was sitting there and I was sitting next to somebody that was telling me that Queensland Health were actually looking at turning RNA showgrounds into a spillover hospital at the Royal Brisbane in the event that COVID really took off here in Australia. And that really hit home for me. So I sort of thought, oh, geez, this is going to be really quite big for us here in Australia. I think from there, what I did was I pulled together 20 of our senior leaders from across the organisation and sat them all down and said, look, we're not sure if this is actually going to become something, but I think it's a really good opportunity to stress test our business continuity of the organisation. So let's take this as if it is serious. I want us to brainstorm everything and I want us to determine what we need to do from there, we identified that there was a fair bit that we actually needed to do purely from a business continuity perspective. So I set up a task force to ensure that the implementation had occurred. That was probably the best thing that we possibly could have done facing a pandemic, purely because we have remained probably a week or two ahead of every development that has come out through the government relations advice. So we've had a task force specifically dedicated to focusing on this pandemic. And I think the real success of that was pulling together people, and the analogy of methodologies that I took with my senior leaders and the conversation I had with them were, I'm going to set the playing field, and this is the context of the playing field, but really I'm setting the field and I'm letting you guys play. And one of the best things that we've seen as a result of taking that approach and letting our leaders and our senior leaders across the organisation do what they need to do with respect to their relevant portfolios for the organisation was the agility and the innovation that got stood up during that time was exceptional. So I think that particular approach about setting the playing field and letting people play really worked personally for MS Queensland to be successful managing through the pandemic.
Now, that's a really good example of things that have worked. I'm wondering, are there any other methodologies that you've seen that have worked in this situation, and also perhaps some that haven't been so successful?
The two other methodologies that I put forward to my leadership team was that one, an old boss, or both of these came from an old boss that I used to work with, but our role as leaders is a little bit like a snorkel. So you need to stay, you know, snorkeling across the surface, and every now and then you need to dive deep and get into the detail. But if you stay down there as a leader, you're going to drown. So you actually need to stay calm. You actually need to stay on the surface and every now and then dive deep. So that was one of the analogies that I sort of used for our leadership team to make sure that they stay focused. And the other thing was what the pandemic really showed us was that we are operating in an ever-changing, uncertain, ambiguous environment. And so there is one way, there is another way, and people's perceptions will always come into different ways of doing things. But there's always a third way. So look for that third way, because there's never a wrong or right or black and white. So those sort of analogies, I think, held our leadership team in good stead through the pandemic. What I learnt was communication is super key, but to ensure that you have a structured approach to communication. So I think at the start it was a little bit throwing out communication. One thing that a mentor once said to me was, don't overestimate how important you are to somebody, but don't underestimate how important you are to somebody. So getting that right level of communication to ensure that you are giving people the stability of leadership and direction, but not over communicating to the point that it becomes lost noise, or, you know, there's a lot of other information that people were digesting out there in the public arena. Whether that be through media channels or through other organisations that they are engaged with, we weren't going to be the be-all and end-all of content for people, but we need to provide the relevant content and detail in terms of our communication for people to help keep them at a level of comfort with regards to the areas that we sort of looked after.
Now, it's pretty obvious that you have spent some time reflecting on this situation and perhaps your own leadership style during this pandemic. I'm wondering what you've specifically learned about yourself that you might not have realised before this happened.
Personally, I think I always have this imposter syndrome. So am I good enough? And I think a lot of people sort of struggle with this. Am I good enough? You know, should I even be in this position? Do I have the goods to be able to lead an organisation through this? And I think there's always that self-doubt, and I think a little bit of self-doubt is always a good thing. I think that it helps you continuously critically analyse your decisions and ensure that you are staying humble in your leadership approach. I think that what I've learned about myself during this has given me an element of confidence in my ability to be able to unite and galvanise a group of people to lead through a common or to a common objective.
And what about other people? Is there anything that you've observed or learned about others from this unique situation?
As everybody's sort of seen, I think that if you provide a safe, well, one of the things specifically for us is that with my leaders, giving them a safe place to fail has been extremely beneficial for our organisation. So it has resulted in a substantial amount of agility and innovation that has come through for our organisation. So that would sort of be the first thing. The second thing, I've been really impressed with the different rhythms and rituals that people have created in response to an uncertain time. So for most people, and particularly office-bound staff, we went from having to come into the office all day to being, you know, at home. And what we saw was different rhythms and rituals that teams had stood up in order to ensure that they stay connected or to ensure that they remain collaborating together or being able to achieve business as usual activities. And I think there's some exceptional stuff in those rhythms and rituals that could actually be taken out of the pandemic and should actually be implemented as part of business as usual for organisations moving forward. So that's been really nice to watch. The other thing I would say is that people are actually okay with, you know, I think there's this perception in terms of leadership that you need to be definitive with your direction and you need to be definitive with your decision making. And, you know, that's what a good leader is. Part of what we observed and definitely some of the behaviours that I displayed was saying to our workforce, we can only make decisions with regards to information that we have at hand today. And so we'll make those decisions, the best decisions that we think are possible. What I'm saying to you today may not actually be what I'm saying to you tomorrow or the next day. And we may actually be changing our view on certain approaches to things. And that's okay because new information has come to light. And we're going to be shifting and pivoting our strategy. People were very receptive to that. And I think being able to call that out up front helped people understand that, all right, well, it's not just our, you know, indecisive decision making, it's actually the situation that we're facing. So that was really interesting to observe because I sort of thought that people needed that decisive decision making, but actually people are okay with ambiguity if you actually call it out.
So Zane, have there been any other observations you might have had about life and leadership amid this pandemic that you'd be able to share with us?
I think the strongest leaders that have led through this and led through it well have been people that have cross-functional capability. So generally speaking, as leaders, we sort of have a particular discipline. So myself, I'm finance trained, finance background, and I've come up, you know, as a CPA through the accounting stream. And we'll all have a certain technical discipline that we're good at and it's our default position. But I think that the leaders that have been most successful in stabilising their workforce and leading through this have been those ones that have that cross-functional capability, that are sort of well-rounded individuals with high emotional intelligence as opposed to their technical expertise in a particular area. So I think for me, if I was to look at surrounding myself with a really solid leadership team, I would be looking for those leaders that had that in their DNA, that cross-functional leadership capability and being able to lead on any area. That would probably be my big observation. The other observation for me is, and I saw this publicly and have seen it across organisations as well, is that I think the true colours of organisations started to come out. So initially through at the start of the pandemic, I was actually quite disappointed with community and societal reactions in that Australians were sort of saying, we're all in this together, but, you know, are we really all in it together, or are we in it together as long as my own backyard and my patch is well looked after? And we saw it with the whole toilet paper response of just everything being dragged off the shelves. And so I think that sort of surprised me in terms of human nature and how we sort of look after ourselves and our families first. And unfortunately, that sometimes comes to the detriment of the greater society and the more vulnerable people in society. So that really quite surprised me. Coming more specifically back to organisations, I think that the true colours or the corporate colours of an organisation come out in a time of crisis. So, and that definitely starts with the leadership at the top and how they're leading the organisation through those challenges. So what we saw at MS Queensland, I think some of our core philosophies and values that we had here around collaboration, which were in our DNA, really came to the forefront equally. I saw some of our leaders in the organisation really challenged in times of crisis because they just were used to leading in the status quo, and when they were faced with a crisis situation, they were highly strung, they were stressed, and the way that they then behaved perpetuated down through their portfolio. So that was really interesting for me to watch, and having to be able to pull that up and pull people back in line and get them to hold their position as a leader, because it wasn't serving the organisation very well if they didn't.
And to switch focus momentarily, it would be great if you could share a bit about your experience with the Executive Challenge Academy. How did you come to be a part of that program?
Yeah, my last organisation, when I was back at Multicultural Development Australia, I was put through the Executive Challenge Academy. I think it was in my first year there, so that was probably about 4 to 5 years ago. fantastic program that I sort of went through and really challenged my own views in terms of leadership styles and leadership philosophies. So some amazing speakers that sort of went through that. I've then been engaged with them. So I co-hosted a leadership learning journey over to Houston, which was to Baker Ripley over in Houston, which was a fantastic leadership learning journey to both co-host and also to be a participant the year before that as well. I've still kept in touch with the Academy and primarily through some of the contacts. So, you know, the power of networks, there was a substantial amount of people from Queensland Police Services and Queensland Fire Emergency Services that were doing the program back when I went through it. So I've maintained relationships and actually learned a fair bit about leading through crisis management and the whole command and control leadership from some of those networks that I had. But I think one of the big benefits of the Academy that I also have reaped now in terms of those networks is that there's certain people that I went through that with that I got in connection with that are now leading different types of not-for-profits throughout Queensland. And throughout the whole pandemic, I was able to touch base with them on a regular basis, whether that be a weekly or a fortnightly structured sort of catch up with them, just to knowledge share and just to help build capacity across the NFP sector. So to sort of share with them what we were doing and to get information around what they were doing so we could adopt some of those strategies. So that's definitely been one of those big benefits that I've managed to reap the reward from the Executive Challenge Academy.
And apart from the networking and the opportunity to share ideas, can you tell me a little bit about how the Executive Challenge Academy has impacted on you in your professional life?
Hugely, I would say. It's probably been one of the, not to sound for myself, but one of the distinguishing factors that has helped me be successful in my career and probably sets me apart from some of the other leaders if I'm going for a role and I'm competing up against, has been the fact that I can critically analyse my own leadership style, identify different sorts of leadership styles, and I've learned to be very self-reflective from it so that I can continuously learn and continuously be better. And I think that really came from some of the exposure to some really good speakers that came through the Executive Challenge Academy and different topics. So, you know, things like leading with wisdom or doing leadership work and workshops around visioning for the future. So those different types of topics with, you know, world-renowned sort of speakers that come to present have really helped me be self-reflective and challenge my own leadership philosophies.
Well, Zane, it's been wonderful to speak to you today and hear your perspectives and experiences of leading through these very challenging times. Thank you so much for taking the time and all the best.
No worries. Thank you very much.